Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Krueger, joining you on this lovely Wednesday morning, December 11th. A chilly 43 degrees when I got up this morning out there. We're really feeling that frost in the air. That cold weather has me thinking about a lot of decisions that we have to make quite regularly in the restaurant business. Sometimes we have to make calls that aren't even in our customers' best interest at that moment, so that in the long term, their best interests are actually served. One of the best examples I could give to you on this one, as we get into this chilly weather coming up this weekend, are patio heaters. One of the toughest tools for us to work on in the restaurant business. For those of you that go out and dine out regularly, you might recognize the sort of residential grade patio heater that runs on one of those Amerigas barbecue tanks out there at the restaurant, or you might see the fixed patio heaters built into a restaurant that are connected to the natural gas line that turn on and off with a switch. Now, those natural gas ones are pretty easy. We've got an unlimited source from Southwest Gas. They kind of love me for the person I am on the inside of my wallet, because we pay a very hefty and princely sum every time we flick that switch. But flicking that switch is a slam dunk for me. Easy peasy. Anytime you want that as a guest, even when if it's 70 degrees outside, we'll probably turn that one on for you. However, when it comes to the barbecue tank patio heaters, it gets to be a bit more of a challenge. First and foremost, you've got to get those tanks to your restaurant, right? There's a delivery once a week by Amerigas, but how many tanks will they bring for you? I've got a 23,000 square foot patio at St. Philip's Plaza and over 30 of those heaters at any given moment. And we go through between about $2,500 and up to $3,000 a week in Amerigas barbecue tanks. It's actually a princely sum, not just of money, but just getting those tanks to the restaurant. Often Amerigas won't show up and we'll have to go to Home Depot ourselves. I've had to buy a trailer and a van specifically just to get this many barbecue tanks to the restaurant, right? I will show up at Home Depot and say, good afternoon, my name is Grant Krueger. I'd like to buy every single Amerigas barbecue tank you have, Home Depot. And they go, who are you? They think I'm trying to blow up the World Trade Center or something along these lines. And as I drive back to the restaurant with a van filled with 50 barbecue tanks in it, I can't help but think, goodness gracious, if I get rear-ended right now, I am absolutely going to perish in a Hindenburg level of explosion somewhere at First and River over here. And so it becomes quite a challenge. I want to say yes to our guests. I want to give you that, what Will Goddara calls unreasonable hospitality. Always a yes. The customer is always right. But sometimes we just can't turn on those patio heaters. We might not have the gas. It might be 73 degrees outside, and there's plenty of available seating inside as well, too. It becomes very difficult for us to provide that level of hospitality on the regular. And so as you go to local restaurants this weekend that will be packed at the gills, right? We've got U of A's graduation coming up. Corporate holiday parties are everywhere. I want you just to be cognizant of our poor friends in the industry who want to say yes to you to turn on that patio heater at when it's 73 degrees outside at 11:30 a.m. in the morning. However, they might not be able to do so because there might not be gas for you later on that evening. And the highest and best use of the restaurant may not be served if we can't have that product available later in the evening. It creates a situation where sometimes saying no up front is the long-term interest of the restaurant is served. And in society, we get stuck with a lot of no's up front that end up being a long-term yes or a win. I'm reminded of Proposition 414, which is going to be a special election coming up in the city of Tucson on March 11th. You'll be asked by city officials if you wish to pay an extra 0.5% in sales tax over the next 10 years. And of course, this tax is for police and firefighters, right? I've never met a tax that wasn't for police and firefighters. However, shouldn't that payment of police and firefighters be part of the city's general fund and not part of a special tax that sunsets? Last time I checked the city of Tucson charter, their three most important responsibilities are public safety, roads, and parks. And so if those aren't included in the general fund, what is? What are we spending that general fund money? And so while the city officials are going to reach out to you and say, if you say no to this, you are saying no to cops and firefighters and you are a horrible person, I say that's absolutely not true. I am 100% back the blue. I want to look out for all of our first responders, but it is the city's responsibility to do that in the general fund and not with a special taxation that sunsets. Certainly a scenario where saying no upfront is actually in the long-term best interest of both our first responders and the citizens of the city of Tucson. On restaurant news this week, all over the Twitter dome and your Facebook feed, as of last week, EG's has announced its bankruptcy, right? This is kind of heartbreaking local news to all of us Tucsonans who are always rooting for the little guy, right? There's so few concepts that started in Tucson and make their way into general society and get bigger. And everybody had a reason on Facebook about why EG's is going backwards. They changed the ranch, I heard. They changed the bread, I heard. The drinks taste like chemicals at this point. It's no good anymore. I'll tell you the real reason that EG's is going bankrupt right here on Jump in Tucson, guys. And that is one of the reasons that actually made it successful as well, too. It's the fries. You wonder, why would the EG's fries be the cause of its demise? Well, anytime you've got a restaurant deep fryer, you need to have type 1 Ansel hoods with fire suppression and a completely different style of restaurant build-out. One of the reasons that Subway has been so successful in the United States, why they permeated the sandwich market in all 50 U.S. states, is because they can drop that bad boy into just about any strip mall in America. And because they don't offer gas-powered deep fryers, they don't need hoods, they don't need as big a grease traps, they don't need real restaurant build-outs. EG's, along the lines of, if you remember from a decade ago, Quiznos, the often failed sandwich concept as well, too, also failed because they had toasted subs, gas-fired heating equipment, hoods, and those restaurant build-outs get to be very, very expensive. It's very difficult to do on sandwiches alone. Looking at the financial reports of EG's bankruptcy, they had $27 million in annual sales over 25 stores, giving their average unit volume just over $1 million. Sounds like a lot of money to listeners, but for a full-service restaurant of that size with hoods and grease traps and running this, $1 million per store in sales is just not enough to pay the bills. And I don't see any sandwich concept surviving in the long term that has to have that kind of hardware. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to bring in a group of local restaurateurs over here that have got some amazing collaborations of their own. I'm going to have David Fermansky of Empire Pizza, Sam Nolly of Saffron, and all kinds of special guests. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Jump in Tucson at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined live in the KVOI studios by two very special guests this morning. We've got David Fermansky, owner of Empire Pizza. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And Sam Nolly. Good morning, Sam. You are from Saffron and Bollywood Pizza Company, right?
That's correct. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, very excited to have you guys on the show. Thanks for making the trek down over here to the Bustos Media Studio. How are things going for Empire over there, David?
Empire is doing great. We're excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
No, excited to have you guys here as part of the show. I've actually talked about Empire a number of times on Jump in Tucson over here as well, too. As one of the survivors in downtown Tucson, right? Here, locally owned Empire beat out, you know, a very famous pizzeria from Phoenix that came down and failed. And so it's neat to see the Tucson restaurants hang in there and do something really great.
It is. It's hard to believe we survived the construction of the streetcar and all the closures that have occurred throughout downtown.
Now, you and Sam have some interesting partnerships coming up over here. I saw some things about Indian pizza. Is there like a collaboration going on between Saffron and Empire Pizza over here? What do we got going?
We are doing Indian fusion pizza. It's available at Empire, chicken tikka masala pizza and chana masala pizza. And we also just opened a new food truck, Bollywood Pizza Company.
Unbelievable. That's a really interesting pairing to go together. How long has Empire been downtown?
We've been downtown for 16 years.
That's amazing. 16 years in the restaurant business. We've had a few guests now over these last few weeks that have had multiple teen years of anniversaries. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. If you make it, you know, past a decade in the restaurant business, you are doing something right, right? They should hang your jersey up in the Restaurant Hall of Fame rafters over there. There should be a Fermansky jersey up there for making it that distance. What do you think the secret is to surviving 16 years?
Well, I think you're really kind. every day is still a struggle. I think probably one of the biggest secrets is transitioning from having to come in and be there every single day and watching over things to the restaurant actually running itself and the employees taking pride in what they do.
Without a doubt. And then you've got an expansion of Empire coming up as well, too. I see that you happen to be maneuvering around the Hydra space right on that corner as well, too. Like, what's coming in the future for Empire?
That's been in the works for years, but we're finally making some incredible progress next door. I would imagine we'll be open sometime in the next year.
Okay. And what's that going to be? Like, what is it? Is it an extension of Empire? Give our listeners a breakdown of what your master vision is for that.
It's going to be an extension of Empire. It's going to be a much bigger bar area, a much bigger front kitchen and back kitchen area, so we can put out a lot more food. Sometimes we get very busy and backed up. That should solve all those issues.
Now, I see even late night hours being a really popular option over at Empire. And the few occasions I get the opportunity to go downtown and imbibe in an adult beverage or two, I see Empire like lines like even after the bars close out there. How late does Empire Pizza stay open?
We are open until 3 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, that is a commitment right there. So what time does the crew get off of work then at that point? If you're open till 3, what time are they leaving?
It's not uncommon for people to be there to past 4 a.m. cleaning.
Yeah, that's a late night in the restaurant business. We get that over at Union Public House as well, too. There are many days that with our 2 o'clock close and the breakdown and cleanup, that by the time we're finishing up, the morning crew is already on their way back in. So I'm in a suit, you know, with a cocktail at 4 in the morning, and these guys are coming in with their morning coffee ready to go, and we don't even lock the door, right? It's just 24 hours and just goes. And it sounds like you're close to that at Empire as well, too. What time do you guys open up in the morning?
11 a.m.
And Sam, you're collaborating now with Empire on an Indian pizza, both in the restaurant and then with this food truck as well, too. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we have a group of restaurants. We've been around for a while. We have a Saffron Kebabcue, Saffron Bites, and we franchised them out. I met Dave at the buffet line at Saffron. And, you know, we just realized there's pizza all over the place and people love Indian food. So why not collab together? And so now here we are opening up a truck together, selling our stuff at Empire, and it's really blowing up.
That's amazing. How did you get your start in the restaurant business? Where does Saffron's genesis come from over here?
You know, I've been working in restaurants for a third of my life. I started with my uncle's restaurant. It was a small Indian restaurant. And I've jumped around and I eventually ended up at Saffron. And, you know, it just kind of built up from there. We expanded. And, we're still growing and really excited about it.
Tell our listeners where Saffron is located for those that don't know.
Saffron is in Oro Valley. It's between Ina and Oracle and Ina and McGee in the Sprouts Shopping Center. We have a full-service buffet. We have a full bar. A lot of good Indian food.
And how many years have you got operating now, Saffron, more or less?
You know, Saffron's been around since 2008, so 16 years. Our sister restaurant, Kebabcue, has been around longer. A lot of people are familiar with that. Saffron Bites is our franchise with the U of A. That's more recent. We just renewed our contract. But Saffron, about 16 years, yeah.
And tell me about Saffron Bites a little bit more. Where's that located?
So we partner with the U of A with that. So we're a franchisor, they're franchisee. They just renewed our contract. We wanted to do something more focused for the students. And so it's more of a Chipotle-style concept. We're in the main student union, and you can pick chana masala, chicken tikka masala, korma, all the good items for, you know, much quicker than having to sit down at a restaurant.
Very interesting. You know, David, from Empire over here, getting back to your concept, you've got a store in the Tucson airport as well, correct?
We do.
And I've got a Maverick in the Tucson airport. There happens to be a Maverick branded bar over there. Explain to our listeners how the Tucson airport restaurants work, because I got a feeling that most people don't fully understand that.
Tucson Airport's tricky. There's two different options. One is where you can manage the labor and manage the store. The other option is where the group that's managing all the restaurants manages all of that. We chose the latter option, and it's hands off for us. It's very much like a franchise.
Right, and that company is called Delaware North. And what they do is manage a large portion of the airport restaurants for us. As you can imagine, we talk about staffing a lot on Jump in Tucson over here, and it's been such a challenge for the restaurant business to find particularly back-of-house staff, right? Imagine having an airport store where your back-of-house staff have to pass TSA background checks. I want you to think about that for a brief moment, right? If I went into Empire right now and I said, guys, I'm going to run a TSA background check on your entire back-of-house staff, what percentage of your staff end up getting hauled off?
Well, that's a great point. That's exactly the reason why we choose the latter option.
Right. And so Delaware North has found a group of individuals that can pass those with the unique Venn diagram overlap of both wanting to work in a kitchen and able to pass those particular background checks. Like an amazing, amazing feat indeed. And the grand majority of the restaurants in the Tucson airport are run by Delaware North. So they're really like a branding exercise. But you don't see any of those sales or anything, right? It's more of a them operating under your recipes and your branding and your image?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the same for us at the Maverick. Sam, do you think you could ever have a Saffron Bites over there at the airport too? You know what?
You know what? If the employee's clear, maybe I will.
I like it. We might have to work that out over here. Again, we've got Sam Nally from Saffron and Kebabiq, David Furmansky from Empire Pizza. They're working on a collaboration, right, between them to do a food truck. What sort of challenges does a food truck have compared to a traditional brick-and-mortar restaurant?
I think food truck's the only way to go when you're incubating a concept like this. You touched on some of the reasons why, the Ansel One type one hood. Just for the price of that hood, you can get two food trucks nowadays.
Without a doubt. What do you think, Sam? Do you like the food truck or the full-service model better, if you had to pick?
I do like food trucks. We do face some challenges, you know, loud generators, parking in a spot where, you know, it can cause problems. But it's very mobile. We can do events, caterings, weddings, and I like that aspect of it. So, you know, we're giving it a shot, and so far it's been going well.
I love the idea of food trucks. It tends to be the real restaurant incubator, right? Sort of a try before you buy model where, you know, you put this concept into a food truck, and if it works out successfully, most of the successful food trucks end up eventually transitioning into brick and mortar. Do you guys think in any capacity that the recent sort of tamale bill cottage food acts that are now allowing people to sell food professionally but on a small level are going to negatively affect the food truck business in any capacity? Or is that only if you're a Mexican operator?
I think it's a very positive impact. The barrier to opening a brick and mortar restaurant is just simply too high. It's a minimum of around $500,000 to build out a kitchen right now. And that's just an impossible barrier for anyone to cross. The food truck is also a barrier as well in terms of cost, but the cottage food license is absolutely amazing. There's no barrier at all.
No, at this point, if you've got a kitchen smaller than 1,000 square feet in your house, you can pretty much knock out nearly any food product you wish under Arizona law, and it's not regulated by the Pima County Health Department. It's actually regulated by the Arizona Department of Health Services. And they don't exactly have a lot of staff to keep an eye on that one. So it's pretty much the Wild West out there. So I think it's going to be a really interesting year for the restaurant business when we look at these small restaurant incubators, whether it's a food truck or whether it's the tamale lady working out of the Home Depot parking lot in an orange bucket. Like, there's going to be a lot of food startups coming. When we come back after the break, I want to break down with Sam and with Dave some of the other collaborations they've got coming on. We've got a couple other special guests in the KVOI studio over here. We're going to meet with Voltron Brewing Company. I understand that David's got a little bit of action going on with a local brewery over here. So this guy is pretty dynamic. He's got a lot of breaking news coming up after the break. Thank you for spending your Wednesdays listening to Jump in Tucson. On Thursday, we've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance coming up. On Mondays and Fridays, Dr. Ed Ackerley is bringing you all the latest news from the University of Arizona. On Tuesdays, you've got Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council bringing his engagement hour, heavy-hitting politicians and civic leaders, you know, having discussions with him. And these discussions are absolutely paramount to Jump in Tucson. So don't go anywhere. We've got an engaging two more segments with Sam, with Dave, a little bit of Voltron brewing coming up. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us. We're always talking live local business news. We've got local restaurant tours that come on here every single Wednesday. We're joined live in the KVOI studios by David Furmansky of Empire Pizza and Sam Nolly of both Kebabbeq and of Saffron. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, so Sam, you're going to open up a Bollywood food truck, right? Like, and where is that going to be located?
You know, so we've already opened it up. Right now, we're jumping around. We've been doing Tap and Bottle. We've done Voltron. We've done Scented Leaf. So we're kind of hopping around right now. Hopefully, eventually, maybe brick and mortar. But right now, we're just picking a spot here and there.
And so Voltron Brewing, we've got live in studio a special guest that you brought with you right next to you over here, Sam. And this is going to be Lucas Hoferkamp. Lucas is operating right now the Voltron Brewing Company. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming. Excited about Voltron Brewing. Give our listeners a breakdown of where you're located right now.
Yeah, so right now we're at 330 South Tool Ave. We're actually in the same warehouse as the Rocks and Ropes Climbing Gym, just a couple minutes southeast of Congress, so not too far from downtown.
So you could basically go for a climb and then have a nice pint afterwards, right?
You could do that, and many people do, yeah.
Now, Voltron Brewing. Voltron reminds me of the cartoon from the 80s over here, right? Like a conjoinment of various robots or something along these lines that made something more powerful. Where does the name Voltron come from here?
Well, that's right, Grant. The original inspiration for the name did come from the 80s cartoon, the Voltron character, when we had initially two different breweries who came together on this collaborative project they worked on, and they called it Voltron, and the name just stuck. So that's the name that we stuck with thus far. I've got some plans for that. But it's a collaborative project between two or more breweries. Currently, we're partnering with Crooked Tooth Brewing and Borderlands Brewing.
Interesting. Now, you said two or more. Does that mean there's an or more coming as well, too? Is there another partnership out there, perhaps, in the wings?
That could be possible. I think right now, two is a pretty good capacity for the space, but there's definitely some options for that, I'm sure.
Now, running a brewery is pretty tough. I worked 4 years for Breckenridge Brewery, if you remember, at River and Campbell, oddly enough, in the St. Philip's Plaza, where a number of our restaurants were. And I got to spend some time climbing into a mash tun and a brew kettle. And I found that being a brewer is about 85 or 90% being a janitor or a chemist. Yeah. It's cleaning,
it's
right?
Mostly cleaning, yeah.
Yeah, so break it down. How difficult is it to brew your own beer out there? Because I think a lot of people think this is pretty easy.
So I don't actually personally brew much of the beer. That'd be a great question for Ben here. But I mainly run the retail side of the tap room. So I operate the retail operations in the tap room there. I don't personally do a lot of the brewing. But from what I've seen from the brewers there, yeah, it's definitely a lot of hard work. Like you said, mostly just cleaning and making sure that product is comes out just the way you want it. So
that's always, to me, been the tough dichotomy of the brewery business and the restaurants and brewery world, is that the skill sets that it takes to be a successful brewer, that chemist like knowledge of water purity and working with all the grains and measuring bricks and basically staying on top of this, is not necessarily the same skill set that a creative restaurateur needs to have to deal with the marketing and the staffing and whatnot. Now, we've got another guest right across from us over here in the KVOI studios, and that's Ben Vernon from Crooked Tooth Brewing. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, very excited to have you here, Ben. We've got basically a collaboration going between Crooked Tooth and Borderlands right now, correct?
Yeah, we're going to be eventually getting over to the Voltron space and going to be opening up and doing our production over there.
Okay, fantastic. What kind of beers are you making over there at Crooked Tooth right now?
We do all kinds of styles. We go from traditionals, we go into sours, we have a Full Moon series as well as a Sonoran Sour series, but we really focus on just making a variety that can really hit anybody that comes to the door.
And what's your guys' favorite beer that you're making over there, Ben?
What's, Man, what's... My favorite's Crooked Light. Give me that Mexican lager all day.
And Lucas, what's your favorite beer over there right now in Voltron? You got to pick one right now for our listeners to go try and check you out over next to Rocks and Ropes. I'm going for a climb, and now I'm looking for your top beer. What's the one you're going to pick?
Well, right now we have a wonderful Monsoon Porter from Borderlands. Great for the colder weather right now. Very sweet, very drinkable. That's probably my top pick for this season of weather for sure.
And you guys, Lucas, aren't doing food directly, right? Like the Voltron Brewing, if my understanding is correct, doesn't have an actual kitchen inside of it, which is where Sam and Dave's Bollywood food truck come into play as well, too. How often are they going to be out there? Like, when can our listeners go check out Bollywood and go get one of those cool Indian pizzas?
That's correct, Grant. Yeah, we don't have any kitchen on premises, so we are relying on our wonderful food truck partners here for that. We have had Bollywood at the location a couple times now, and we're planning on our next schedule for that. So we're going to have it there, I think, this weekend, actually, for a special event. And then beyond that, we're looking to get these food trucks here for weekly events. So we do a Thursday trivia night that does very well. And we're hoping to do our a food truck every Thursday for that. And then we're also going to be launching a new karaoke special event on Fridays and hoping to do food trucks for that as well.
And so what sort of hours can our guests expect to go dine at or to imbibe at the Voltron Brewing Company? You can't possibly be open till 3 a.m. like Empire Pizza over here, right?
Right. We are not open that late right now. Typically, we're open until 9 or 10 p.m. on the weekends, depending on when our events go until... once we do have a more sustainable food solution there, we're planning on extending those hours until the late night, something closer to what Empire's doing. But for right now, we'll be there until 9, 10, maybe 11 p.m. With our food truck options available.
And Ben, give us a rundown of Crooked Tooth Brewing and this partnership here with Voltron. How long has that been going on with Crooked Tooth now? This one's pretty new, right?
This is very new. Crooked Tooth's been around for 8 years, and we just started talking about this about 3 months ago, I think.
And where is Crooked Tooth located?
Oh, we're down on 228 East 6th Street in between 4th Avenue and 6th Avenue on 6th Street.
Very cool. Well, certainly our listeners need to go check out Crooked Tooth Brewing and to check out Voltron Brewing. And you're making the grand majority of the beer now at the Voltron site, or are you making it on 6th Street?
We're still making it on 6th Street. We haven't done the conversion over there. We're still waiting on a few construction things to go through. And then once we get all that taken care of, we'll start moving our equipment over there.
Amazing. And Lucas, where can our listeners find out information about Voltron Brewing? Like where is, you got a website, you've got an Instagram. Give us your social media handles in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. We're mainly promoting on Instagram at Voltron Brewing, V-O-L-T-R-O-N Brewing on Instagram. You'll see all of our posts and updates there regarding weekly events, food trucks. We got all of our updates on the Instagram.
Amazing. I definitely need to go down there and check that one out. If I recall correctly, for a while, a previous guest here of Jump in Tucson was Fire Truck Brewing, and they're no longer making beer in that facility, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they have moved out of the facility. Yes.
And so it's Crooked Tooth right now. It's Borderlands.
Yes. Yeah, so right now it's Crooked Tooth and Borderlands sharing that space.
Amazing. And are there TVs as well, too? Games? Like, what are we doing over here? We're sampling some great beers, checking out the food trucks.
Sampling great beer, checking out food trucks. We have the TVs as well to watch sports. And then, like I said, our trivia Thursday is very popular. What I offer my winning teams is if you win the trivia game on Thursday, I take care of all your beers for just 1 cent.
Wow, 1 cent beers over here at Voltron. Yeah, I was going to go check it out either way, but now you've got me at 1 cent beers. That's a bargain over there. That's your unreasonable hospitality for sure over with the Voltron Brewing. So where did you get your start in the restaurant business?
I was looking to open some kind of business after I graduated from college in May of 22 from the U of A here, actually.
Are you an Eller graduate? What's the...
So oddly enough, I studied psychology.
Okay.
And I ended up pivoting from that, but I found I do use that quite a bit in my day-to-day life, running a business. So I looked at some other options around town for opening a space to do a full Series 6 bar, which means, you know, full liquor, everything. That ended up not being logistically very feasible, so I was put in touch with the current owners of the Voltron space at the time, and they had a vacant tap room. So I started talking to them about getting that going again. And before long, we reopened that space in March of 2023. So I've been operating that for almost 2 years now.
And how's it going for you guys right now? Have you seen like sales growth improvements, like heading in the right direction?
We have. I mean, as you know, it's a tough business. It's a tough business to get started in and to do well right away. So we have had our ups and downs, absolutely. But with our new partnerships here, we're pretty excited about what's to come. We're pretty optimistic.
Lucas Hoferkamp, Voltron Brewing Company. Lucas, I want to thank you for coming to spend part of your morning with us here on Jump in Tucson and wish you a tremendous amount of success over there at Voltron Brewing as well, too. We are big fans over here at Jump in Tucson of both local entrepreneurs and of local breweries. And when those two overlap like that, it's always something I look forward to checking out. And I promise to get down there and sample one of those delicious pints with you over there soon. We've got one more segment coming up after the break. We're bringing back entrepreneurs David Furmansky and Sam Nolley of both Empire Pizza and, of course, Saffron Indian Bistro as well, too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. We are joined by an amazing group of entrepreneurs. We've having a delightful discussion with David Furmansky from Empire Pizza, Sam Nolley from Kebabaq, and Saffron. You guys have formed a very interesting partnership in the Bollywood food truck over here. Where'd you guys meet? How did you guys come up with this collaboration together?
Sam mentioned earlier we met at Saffron at the buffet line. I was about to finish my meal. And they had switched point of sale systems for one day, and they were having issues with it. And Sam came up to me, explained the issues, and I told him it's not a problem. I understand completely. I have a restaurant. He asked me which one. I told him. He said he loved Empire. He was so excited. And he asked me for help with the Gem Show that was coming up earlier this year.
I love meeting other restaurateurs in our restaurants. You can generally see the empathy that other restaurateurs or restaurant employees have for you, right? Just in the way you serve them and the way they carry themselves, the plates are neatly stacked off to the right side with the silverware organized in a manner that they can be easily removed from the table. And just in general, like an empathy for other human beings as well, too. A skill set that's just taught in the service industry, right? Like raised from birth. And at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the EG's bankruptcy, right? EG's as well was started as a food truck in 1971 by Ed Irving and Bob Greenberg, right? The E in Ed and the G in Greenberg are what make up the EG's name. Like that's where the E and the G came from over there. Talk about their hospitality for a bit.
So you're right. They started out of a food truck and it was customer demand and customer requests from construction workers asking for food that led them to open up a brick and mortar and expand the menu.
I love those stories of the little guy starting out like that. And I think food truck is the answer to get going without that huge capital investment. You mentioned that it costs over $500,000 to start a kitchen. And I would suggest that that's even just a minimum, huh, David? I mean, you could spend $1 million very easily on a restaurant kitchen.
Absolutely. And when you're done and your lease is over, none of it's yours.
Right. It's probably one of the craziest business moves out there. When you go into a leased property and you put $1 million kitchen in it, the residential analogy to this would be like renting an apartment and then putting in new granite countertops and cabinets and redoing the bathrooms, right? In your rental condo or something. It would be insane to you. If I were to tell you like that's what I'm going to do this weekend, you would say, Grant, you are a sicko. Like there is something wrong with you. And yet in the restaurant world, that's what we do on nearly every single tenant improvement, no?
Yeah, and your analogy is perfect. It's exactly that. No one would ever think about doing that on a residential.
No.
Rental.
So what other, do you guys have other projects potentially coming up in the future over here? Do you got some other neat things? Like what's in the works?
Well, one thing that we're really excited about is a food truck collaboration with Chef D from Cine Thai Bistro. And that's coming to Crooked Tooth. The grand opening is going to be next week on Friday night. And her food is absolutely amazing. I hope many of the listeners got to eat at her restaurant on Congress in Atai Bistro. She's an amazing person. And this is the perfect location.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have her on the show over here as well, too. So please do send the open Jump in Tucson invite to Chef to come join us over here. We'd love to talk about her fare, her experiences operating in downtown Tucson, and just all things the restaurant business in general over here. Every Wednesday morning, 9 to 10, we're sharing restaurant news with you over here on Jump in Tucson. Why don't you, Dave, give us a breakdown of where customers can find Empire Pizza and its hours?
We're open 11 till midnight every night, except for Friday, Saturday, we're open until 3 a.m., 137 East Congress Street.
And you've got an amazing collaboration going on over here as well, too. We've got Ben from Crooked Tooth. Ben, you want to pop on over here and tell our listeners about, again, where they can engage with Crooked Tooth Brewing?
Yeah, Crooked Tooth Brewing. You can get us on Facebook, Instagram. We have a ton of events going on. We host local artists. We're downtown. There's parking along Arizona Avenue, and we are open 3 to 10. And then on the weekends, 12 to 10.
And you are the chemist, right? You are the head brewer. You're the mastermind behind this one. The guy that expertly cleans the mash tun and brew kettle and looks at that water quality and all those fun things.
That definitely happens, yes.
Yeah, it's no easy feat, huh?
No, it takes up a lot of your time. You're definitely in there cleaning. You're definitely analyzing the product. You want to make sure whatever you're working with is quality and make sure that water profile is nice.
And Sam, tell the listeners again about your restaurant empire over here on Indian Foods. We've got quite a few locations. Break it down where listeners can find you.
Absolutely. So our main hub is a Saffron Indian Bistro, 7607 North Oracle Road in the Sprouts Shopping Center. 11 to 9 every day besides Friday. Besides Tuesdays, we're closed. And Friday, Saturday, we're open until 9:30. So Kebabbie Q, sister restaurant, smaller, on University, 845 East University, right next to General Ben's. If you are a student or you want to check out our other concept, it's called Saffron Bites. It's in the main student union at the University of Arizona.
Can listeners use their cat card at that one because yeah. It's in the student union? Can they use the cat card in your other restaurants? Like, do you have that?
Mainly Saffron. It's just Saffron Bites, yeah, for all the students. But we get a lot of cat card transactions.
Which is quite nice when they can buy Saffron on mom and dad's dime over here as well, too, right?
Absolutely. And we have one more location. We have a franchisee out in Sarita. So we opened up a kebab queue out there as well.
I didn't know that. Where's that located in Sarita?
You know, right where the first shopping center right there on losing the street name right now because I haven't been there in a minute, but... off the top of your head, what's that first shopping center, Dave, on the left-hand side when you're coming in the Rancho?
Well, either way, you've got one in Sarita as well, too, which is pretty amazing. I know that community has been looking for restaurants. I've met with Mayor Murphy on multiple occasions, and they are dying for locally owned full-service restaurants down in Sarita and up in the Marana community as well. Both of those chambers are out there actively looking for full-service places to come in and service that community. They are hungry for us restaurateurs. So anybody, listeners out there that's got an inkling, like these are locations that, at least if you listen to the residents, are underserved. Let's turn this over to Lucas. Again, Voltron Brewing. Where can our listeners find information about Voltron Brewing one more time?
Well, like I said, we're mainly on Instagram at Voltron Brewing, V-O-L-T-R-O-N Brewing. You can find our hours, weekly events, and updates all on that Instagram account.
Amazing. So we've had a great discussion this morning with some really fantastic risk-taking entrepreneurs out here who are putting their family fortunes on the line to serve you hot, delicious meals. It's going to be an amazing week in the restaurant business coming up over here. We've got the University of Arizona graduation. We've also got a multitude of holiday parties coming up. You are going to find most of your local restaurants absolutely packed to the gills this weekend as everybody wants to have their corporate holiday party on approximately December 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Nobody wants that corporate holiday party on, say, the 21st or 22nd of December because it's just much too close for Christmas. So heads up out there. Be patient and kind at your local restaurants. I promise we'll get to those patio heaters for you. I promise we'll take care of you. I also promise that you can find a great slice of Empire Pizza late night after some of those bars downtown. One of my favorite establishments over here. They've made it for 16 years, which is pretty impressive to do. Sam, you've done an absolutely fantastic job over at Saffron. For those listeners that haven't had the chance to experience that remodel and what that restaurant looks like right now, it is pretty snazzy. Do check that one out over on Oracle Road if you happen to be in the OV. Ben, I'm super excited for Crooked Tooth Brewing. I love the idea of this local collaboration over here of two breweries coming together to share what's a really, really awesome space. And although I don't get to climb on the rocks and ropes climbing gym as much as I'd like anymore with a wife and small kids, but I do want to go check out Voltron Brewing over there, Lucas. It's an amazing, amazing space. I appreciate that local collab that you guys are doing over there. Look forward to your growth. Listeners, please go check out Bollywood Pizza Trucks coming over there as well, too. This is an amazing collaboration between all these fine gentlemen. Please go out there and support. Tip your servers well. Enjoy your weekend. We're coming back next week with one more Jump in Tucson, and then that'll be the last one for the holidays, because Wednesday happens to fall on the Christmas Day and New Year's Day, so I will have one more show before I see you guys in 2025. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend Wednesday morning with you. Thank you for joining us on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.